I want you to understand, before you come to this church, I want you to understand, God wrote this Bible. I didn't write this Bible. But God's called me to preach out of this Bible. He ain't called me to be a politician. Let me tell you something. A preacher can preach right and he ain't got to be mean doing it. But I love preaching. I love the Word of God. Look what the Lord said, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I'm glad I'm in the church where the brethren are, Brother Jerry. Concerning them which are asleep, is that soul sleep? Oh, no. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, when you die, your soul's going to heaven or it's going to hell, and your body's just going to lay down and go to sleep. And he says, I don't want you to sorrow, even as others which have no hope. I'm sure glad I got hope this morning. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or precede them. For the Lord himself, I'm going to run, shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, I don't know why loud church messes with some of y'all. Because where we going, it's going to be a lot of shouting going on. He said, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, watch this now, which are alive spiritually and remain still living. Well, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. And look what we're going to do now. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. That'd be one of the first times Brother Mike Rollins never been scared to fly. Amen. And my friend Brother Jerry back there, man, drive to Canada and back, this ain't right. Amen. And so watch this now. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, look what it says. Don't let this disturb you. Comfort. Listen, weary pilgrim. I'm glad there's comfort from here. And be seated this morning. A lot of us are looking for heaven here. This will never be heaven here because it wouldn't be heaven there. Comfort one another with these words. I want to close a series of sermons this morning. We've dealt with the foreshadows of Christ exposed in the Old Testament. We dealt with the feelings of Christ expressed, how he had great feelings and many emotions. The foretellings exclaimed, the great prophet said Jesus would come. You know what? He did. Me and the prophet said he'd hang on an old rugged cross and die, get up the third day. Guess what? He did. And then the facts examined. The followers exhibited. I'm glad I'm a follower of Christ today. I'm not a follower of religion. America has religion. You don't go through a pope to get to Christ. You don't count bees to get your prayers answered. You don't get baptized to wash away your sins. You must be a follower of Christ. Followers exhibited. And then last week, fruits expected. God just didn't save me and you to get us out of hell. He saved us to do something through us. And as Brother Dwayne taught so gratefully this morning, How we need to keep others in our focus, to minister, to give ourselves to others, to be a blessing. I want to tell you this morning. You pull in down here in this parking lot, you know what my intention to you to be is? A blessing to you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to embarrass you. I want to challenge you and try to help you. If a preacher cannot challenge you, then you'll not have much goals to go for. Our problem in churchdom today, we've all went to sleep by these worldly lullabies. God, give us preachers again that will preach under power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. God, give us churches again that are separated from this world, called out from among them to be examples to sinners lost and undone without Christ. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. He said, let your light so shine. And then we seen the fruit expected, but I want to close this thought today on the future experience. The future experience. Let me tell you something. I've got a bright future ahead of me. I realize that I walked out of public work some 5 years ago and people shook their head. People asked, well, what about your 401k and what about everything? Let me tell you something. I've got something laid up for this morning. Stock market can't touch. Future experience. Every child of God's got a bright future ahead. I'm glad heaven's real. But I will remind you, so is hell. Jesus said you must be born again. You must experience a new birth if you're going to the new heaven. Amen. Now, if you're going to heaven, it's because you're born to go there. I mean that every sinner is accountable to God. He died for all, but we all have a decision to make for the Lord Jesus. We must be born to go there. Born again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, the future experience. Number one, notice the claim of the return. In verse 13, we see the attention of it. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what's coming here. There's a lot of people that's ignorant of what's coming. A lot of people that is ignorant of where we are today. It's sort of like the bull and the frog syndrome. If you take a pan of boiling water and you pitch a frog in it, he simply bounces out. But if you put him in and you turn the heat up accordingly, he'll never jump out of the pot. That's where America is this morning. That's where the local typical church is today. We've conformed to the images of this world. And here in the teaching, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. There's the claim of the return. Can I tell you, not only the attention of it, but in verse 14, 15, look at the announcement of it. He said, if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The announcement of it. Jesus is coming. Are you going? Jesus is coming. Are you going? Jesus is coming. Are you going? The Bible is inerrant. There's not a discrepancy in this book. There's nothing wrong in this book. It's a right book. It's a divine book. God breathed on men from heaven by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the precepts and principles and doctrines in this book. It's a holy book. And therefore, the announcement, we can be assured, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Then the claim of this return, the attention of it, the announcement of it. But in verse 16, the assurance of it. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
I like what my pastor said, Brother Boatner, down in Mississippi. He said, boy, he said, don't worry about him missing the Lord. He said he's going to pull up in the driveway and blow his horn. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid I'll miss God. How can you miss somebody big as God? A lot of you trying to make decisions in your life and you're wondering if it's still enough wondering in it. Wait till there's no wondering left in it. God's a big God. He can make Himself known to you. But once He's given you that light and direction, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to react upon the light that He's given us. The Lord is coming. We see not only the announcement of it, we see the attention of it, we see the assurance of it. Verse 17, note the activities of it. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Now, I want to tell you, husbands, if your wife is saved, she's going to be caught up. You're going to be left here. Ma'am, if your husband's saved, the Lord returns, brings His church out of this world, He's going, you'll be left behind. You say, preacher, I don't approve of those scare tactic preaching. It's not scare tactics. It's just certainly a broad statement of fact and truth. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Claim of the return. Now, not only the claim of His return, I guess that's one of the greatest passages in the Bible. Matter of fact, I about got it wore out where I've turned to it and read it so much. But I've noticed this, a man with a wore out Bible, his life won't be that way. Amen? I can tell you this, if your Bible's coming unraveled, your life isn't. Jesus is coming. Now, I want to say not only the claim of the return, but number two, note the conditions of the return. What did Jesus say when He would come? We've heard a lot of men write down on calendars and boards and send out letters and make statements of putting a date and a time when Jesus is coming. The Bible says not even the angels in heaven know when Jesus is coming. But not only the claim of return, there are some conditions that He said that you can sure be a looking forward to. And this is amazing to me. Let's turn in our Bible this morning. Very simple a thought. 2 Timothy, I want to share something with you. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1 on the conditions of His return. What will be going on in the day when Jesus returns? Well, He says this, 2 Timothy 3 and 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I want to park right here. And I want to give a thought of where my heart is today in our country. When I read this, you're going to think that I'm reading a newspaper. It's so relevant and prevalent in our day and hour. But I'm not reading the newspaper. I'm a read now the Word of God. And all the newspaper is doing is reflecting that the Word of God is true. A lot of you like data and facts. I've got a lot in this sermon today. I don't know how you could need more data or fact than what I'm fixing to read. This know also that in last days perilous times or stressful, dangerous, furious times shall come. I wish we had a good change in leadership of our country. I'm praying we do. It would be a godsend to this country if an old boy would get elected that had morals and standards and faith in Christ and had a family value and godly morals. It would be so refreshing for our country to become what our founding forefathers founded it to be, instead of social bigotry and politics. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. The claim of the return, but the conditions of this return. We see the enlightenment of it. This, no. He said, I want you to get educated. I want you to get ready. And not only the enlightenment of it, but now let's look at the encounters of it. The encounters of it. He says, for men shall be. Means men or mankind. I've noticed some of these things, and there's 17. And don't panic. I won't spend an hour on the 17. I just want to run briefly through those. I want you to keep your eyes on your Bible here where it says, first of all, men lovers of their own self. What does these statements really mean? Well, it means one seeking his own regardless of another's good. Young people, did you know in days gone by in our community, in our culture, when a farmer went down sick, other farmers would go in and till his crops and gather his crops and be a blessing. He said, in the last days there shall be men lovers of their own self. Number two, you'll notice there's the word that he uses, covetous. It simply means lovers of money. Affection for money. It amazes me how some people are in love with money. Sir, let me ask you this. When you lose your wife, can you hold and hug your money? When you lose your children, those little young'uns bounced up here on the stage this morning. Can I ask you, there's a lot of people put a low value and a low price on family. Lovers, there's men ought to be in the house of God this morning. They're out chasing a whirlwind. Let me tell you, you're listening to a preacher that held one of the top 3% jobs in Georgia. Now, let me tell you this before you think I'm crowing. I got your attention now. Now you're looking. You know what I found when I got there on top? Loneliness. I found the lower I got, the more I found the dearest friend I've ever had. Matter of fact, long as I was hiring and firing and calling all the shots, there's lying down the hall, Brother Gerald is my friend. But when I walked out and released that authority, I don't think I've had one phone call out of 200 employees. And I'm not looking for many. Lovers of money, covetous. You know the old saying, I don't want no more property. I just want all that's joined to me. I'm not a foolish man. I know it takes money to live here. I'm not crazy. I mean, I'm 51 years old. I come in on the tail end of the greatest time in America. Looks like I'm going to leave out on the backside of the worst time.
But let me tell you something. Heaven's not broke this morning. This earth is not running heaven. Listen to you, preacher. Heaven's running this world. And so he said in the last days there would be such covetous people that they had a great affection for money. Isn't it amazing that on the polls of the new president of the United States of America, the number one concern is economy. Nothing a lot about values or morals or life, but economy. You know, money is amazing how it becomes people's God. Honey, let me tell you, you better know the God of this Bible. One day you'll leave your things. Boasters. He says that's exaggerated claims of the greatest and best. We've never heard such advertisement. These boys tickle me with all this stuff. Y'all rubbing on your face says it decreases the looks of age. Man, we got something to make you young in a bottle. Yeah, right. It ain't helped me none. Amen. Boy, they boast in these big campaigns. Man, we got the greatest, the best. Exaggerated claim. Then look, it says the word proud. It's a haughty arrogance which pushes others down. Young people, you look at your preacher this morning. I've not always been able to dress the way I'm dressed. I wore the little boy's clothes down the road till I was grown, and I wasn't ashamed of it. That's the way we live. I was thankful. Be careful not to turn your nose up. If your mom and dad is successful and God has smiled on your family, young people, be careful not to be lifted up in pride and looking down your nose at somebody else. Matter of fact, some of you, just let me go and tell you about this country, preacher, this morning. You may think that you're doing great and you don't need this Jesus and you don't need this Bible and you don't even like a red-faced preacher running around hacking. But let me tell you, honey, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that loves sinners. And I found out the lower we get, the more God uses us. Amen. I've never appreciated nobody thought there was only a limb higher than me. I done rubbed elbows with, I'm talking about lieutenant governors. I've rubbed elbows with judges and lawyers and who am I to look down at anybody? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in hell this morning. You better thank God He's blessed you the way He's blessed you. Be careful not to be prideful and look down at somebody like I've done this. Matter of fact, that's how come the devil got thrown out of heaven. He got big on himself. There's nothing wrong with people having things. I'm not preaching about people and success and goals. I think everybody ought to have goals. You young people ought to have a goal in life. Some of you don't have a heritage. You ought to start you one today. But let me tell you something. When it becomes that I become so proudful for what God has given me, amen, we forget about the giver. Honey, he can snap his finger and get everything you got. And let me tell you something. All of you that's young and bulletproof right now and in your mid-30s and 40s and no problems, no pain, you wait till you reach about 50. And then it's what you'll start doing. When you bend down to pick something up, you wonder, is there anything else down there that needs to be got while you're down there? Somebody go and say amen right there, buddy. You'll get up one morning, your shadows are hurting you. Amen. Proud, haughty arrogance that pushes others down. Blasphemers. That's abusive language, foulness and filthiness. It's in our streets and in our workplace, on our newscast. It is amazing. It is bad when I'm embarrassed with my grandchildren on just CNN news. We've never lived in such a more blasphemous society.
Some of y'all need what my mama used to tell me. Boy, I'm supposed to wash your mouth out with soap. And when your daddy gets home, he's going to dust your britches off. A lot of us, we don't need to talk the way we talk. These little ones are listening. I can tell you, if you're cussing at home, you young ones is cussing. Some of y'all don't like that, do you? You say, how in the world do you keep a church this full preaching the way you do? I done found out I can't do it, and all I can do is preach, and if you want it, here it is. Amen. Your young'un's going to do what you do. They're going to talk like you talk. We picked up slang words from this world that I believe Jesus is not happy with. Blasphemers. Let me tell you something. You may be laughing at this old-fashioned way this morning. Let me tell you, God's going to have the last laugh according to the book of Psalms. He said, I'm going to laugh in your calamity. That's amazing God would say that. Blasphemers, abusive language. Disobedient to parents. Boy, I can tell I'm not going to get through this sermon today. I got 4 points. I'm on number 2. I'm just on sub-point. Don't worry, I'm going to let you go eat your chicken any minute. Look what it says. Disobedient to parents. Parental authority is under attack. It involves rebellion against all authority. I'm glad we've got a lot of police officers in our church. Matter of fact, they're some of my favorite people. I have high esteem for those men and women that serve our country. We have firemen. We have people in security. I thank God for that. But isn't it amazing the way that we're in a culture that nobody respects authority? I thank God for our school teachers. You say, preacher, you mean the way you preach? Y'all got school teachers there? Well, we got some principals hanging out around here. Wouldn't it be so refreshing, teachers, such a blessing if the kids that you were teaching and mentoring, wouldn't it be a blessing if they had respect for authority? I can remember as a young boy, our principal, he walked the halls with his paddle in his hand. You say, that's so abusive. It didn't hurt me. You know, that warps children if you discipline children. No, you're warped. You're warped. The Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And boy, it said that in these last days, you just be looking for it. He said, there is going to be disobedience to parents. You young children, look up here at your preacher this morning. You, just because your mom and daddy don't teach you this, your preacher's going to teach you this. You ought to say, yes, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We got to get back to some morals with our young people. Young boys, listen, you ought to hold a door for the ladies and let them go in first. Why, you walk in like Matt Dillon. You don't even mind. You all about yourself. You ought to treat a lady like she's a lady. Amen. Watch about those that are weaker. Be respectful. I'll never forget, me and my wife was in Pigeon Forge, and I'd open a door for a lady that had 2 twins and a buggy, and she walked in. I opened the door, and it was a double vestibule, and I walked, and I opened this, and man, she come by me. What she told me, you could have blew me over with a feather. She said, what you wanting, a tip? I started saying, no, ma'am, I was raised in Tennessee, and I live in Georgia, and I'm just trying to practice some of them old country boy manners. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to say more than that. I'll just be real honest with you. I did. I know some of y'all don't like that. But I did sort of want to tell her something that wasn't real Christian. And I wouldn't be near the preacher I need to be if I was a sissy. Amen. Mom and daddies, listen to me. I'm raising grand young'uns. I wished I'd have raised them first, Brother Larry, instead of my young'uns. You know, I thought you just had to beat the first one to death and let the second do anything. You can go and shake that head like that little bobble doll. But you know something? Even on my grandchildren, I practice discipline. They've got to have it. You just can't let one-year-old and three-year-olds and four, five, and six call the shots at your... You'll never come to church if your children's calling your shots. Discipline your children. Don't spank them. Don't discipline children when you're mad. Cool down. Let them know what some of you, I see, man, you just jerk them up, man. You run them in the side of a tree. Boom! Think about what you're doing. Discipline your children. If you tell them no and they still are reaching for it and looking at you, that means no. Pop that hand. If that don't work, pop that back in. This is our problem. Time out, no more Nintendo. Hey, look, friend, my daddy was a sight. God rest his soul, he's a sight. My daddy would tear the mayonnaise aisle down William Kroger. He didn't care, buddy. We was raised in a little country church, had them little old pine board floors, you know. And I could tell me and my cousin we'd get tickled in church. You know, one of us would get tickled, and I just couldn't help it, you know. You know, sometimes you just can't help it. You just got to laugh. And, man, I could hear my dad, it just hurts me today to think of it. I'd hear that old pine floor, Brother David, pop when he stepped out in the aisle. I didn't even have to look, see who was coming. And you know what he'd do? As soon as I looked, he'd say. And it wasn't out there. My daddy would turn four pews over getting over to me. Let me tell you the funniest thing I've ever seen at church, and I'm going to get back to preaching. Mom and Daddy had a 62 Chevrolet, had a cigarette lighter that you punched in, you know, and it glowed. I had me a black cat firecracker in my little old Sunday coat, and it was night. Some of them sweet little old women were sitting around that car, and I punched that lighter in, you know, and just like a little old boy would do. I got that black cat firecracker out of my pocket, and I stuck it to that thing. I said, it's too late now. And I throwed that thing down the back of that car. You ought to see it. Man, that's the first time I ever seen Church of Christ women act like they had the Holy Ghost. But I had a problem. That 62 Chevrolet, you know how it got down there? My daddy drove it. And when he said, boy, whoo, son, you stood the tension when it come, boy. Yeah. Said, we'll see about this when we get home. Man, he's a driving that, you know. That's when they had them things that you sat on that cooled your back so your shirt wouldn't stick to you. Y'all boys remember them that you sat on, had springs in them for air conditioning. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. He was so hot, that wasn't even cooling him down. Let me tell you something. I remember my daddy disciplined me. I'm sure glad he did.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Listen to me, young families. The church is full of you. Listen to your preacher this morning. If you love your children, you'll raise them right. You'll discipline them and love them. Provide for them. See about them. Guide them. Daddies, you're going to give an account. Disrespectful. Then, what's this word? Unthankful. Just look around at eating places. How many prayers do you see said? I'll never forget, the CEO of our company flew in. We stopped on a market ride and he said, preacher, where you want to eat lunch? I said, that's fine. We'll stop here at Hamburger Place. We're sitting there. I said, sir, I always bless my meal before I pray. And if you'd like to pray, well, sure, Ken. I prayed. I'll never forget this. Villa Rica, Georgia. Got done eating. He and I sitting there discussing some things. And a man comes up. He says, sir, excuse me. He put a $10 bill on the table. He said, but I want to buy your lunch for your Christian testimony. And that CEO looked at me. He said, does that happen to you often? Unthankful.
We're in such an unthankful society. God has been so good to us. God's been so compassionate to us. You know, I'm amazed at the unthankfulness. Young children, you ought to be thankful of your parents and take care of your parents. Did you know He said, honor your parents. Honor. I've got a mama be 84 years old February 2nd. You know, she tells me she needs something. I don't even think about it. If I've got it, she's got it. Unthankful. We ought to be thankful for what God's given us this morning. You know, you say, well, preacher, listen. Preacher, I want to get on and I want to get in on what's happening. And I'm not for, you know, preacher, I'm not going to run around the church. I'm not going to shout and cry. Well, I understand all that. And I just want you to be yourself. But you know what? You can be thankful. In your own way, you can be thankful. Lord, thank you for this society, though, that's unthankful. You ought to see what people are eating at the Philippines where I flew and preached. You ought to see how children are being raised in Honduras. Did you know if we had this church environment, and I know it's a different culture, and I'm watching my watch. I'm watching it go by real fast. If people had a church like what we've got to go to, you would be no idea how thankful they'd be. Did you know where I've preached, I have watched them bed down on the pew they sat on tonight and go to sleep so they could hear preaching tomorrow night. You know what they were bathing in? A little bucket and a dipper in the corner. You know what they were eating? One handful of rice. I don't know of any family in this church that's hungry. If I did, you wouldn't be that way. I can tell you right now, the leadership of this church, if they knew you were hungry, you wouldn't be hungry long. We better get thankful. I'm thankful for my children. A lot of y'all, this is something. I got me a new Bible, Brother Gerald. I'm not preaching about it. On my desk where I study is my computer. And so my little grandgirl, you know, they already know how to do a computer 3 years old. They can just run everything. Well, she come up the other day and she sat on my Bible and she creased it in a few places. And so I pick it up Monday and all of them are gone. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, she's messed up my new Bible. Then I got to thinking, God, thank you that I got a little granddaughter come in, set up on my desk Sunday, and then I want to thank you that I had a Bible open. I want to thank you. Miss Sherry, come. Unthankful. Church, let me tell you, in our society, I never want to lose sight of, I know this is God's church. No doubt in my mind, the Lord's here. But I never want to forget that He uses His people to help my family. And I want to be thankful for that this morning. I want to be thankful for them two grandbabies that my son-in-laws have got them here under preaching this morning. I'm thankful. There was a lady here. She's just visited a few weeks. She really encouraged me this morning. You take Larry sitting here, not many people know. That just encourages me. People come in that could be at home, that feel really not like being here, but they push theirself. Mom and Daddy's, I just go hold Eli up this morning, talk about his giving, but in comes Brother Logger's little girl. Boy, I want to be so thankful. You know what I'm fixing to do? I'm fixing to go out there and get in the best vehicle a man can ride in. I'm fixing to go home, Brother David, put my shoes under a table. My wife's got enough lunch prepared for all of us. And you know who did all that? The God that wrote that Bible right there. The devil will never show you what you got. He'll just show you what you don't. My sister, please, this morning, I simply open this altar today, shut this sermon down. You mind the Lord, whatever you need in your life, I sure do want to be thankful. Maybe this morning you just want to gather around with your little old children. Maybe you want to bring your grandbaby and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, I bless you for it. I want to thank you, God, that you would save me. And Lord, I want to thank you that you've helped me. So, God, I want to be thankful. God, I want to be thankful that we heard a Sunday school message like we did today. And God, I want to be thankful that we've heard the songs sung the way we've heard them sung today. God, I want to thank you for the clothes on my back, the food in